Welcome to the Excel podcast. With its origins in Southwest England, you are invited to join your host, Kevin Sulwood, as he speaks with a variety of personalities, both local and national, and mostly from within the driver training industry. In the various episodes, you will hear about issues of national interest concerned with driver training, along with ideas and advice to help you, whether you are an independent instructor, a member of a franchise, or the owner of a larger driving school. Kevin also asks each guest about what they do for relaxation outside of work. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Excel podcast with me, your host, Kevin Sulwood. Now, this week, having been talking to one or two figures from more the national scene from the driver training industry, we're back in our roots in the Southwest today. Now, before I do formally introduce today's guest, think yourself back to your school days and the people you used to sit with in school. And there'd be some swats who'd be up the front, and there'd be others who'd be down the back. I wouldn't say a particularly disruptive influence, but when one or two of you got together, you could be quite frustrating towards the teacher. Now, today's guest, she and I, when we get together at a course, I sometimes think that the person running the course might get a little bit frustrated and roll their eyes, because we're normally the sort of the light-hearted ones. We don't go about disrupting things. We'd never do that. We're far too well behaved for that. So with that wonderful introduction, I'm going to just say thank you very much for giving up your time today. Claire Hancock. Hi, Claire.
Hi, sorry. I was trying not to laugh while you were doing that, just remembering all the times we've kind of been giving each other looks or trying not to laugh. And
yes, or rolling our eyes at somebody else and the inane question they ask.
Yes.
Yeah, but we don't socialise. We don't see each other anywhere near as much as we'd like to for coffee and that sort of thing, which I know you were quite disappointed that we're doing this remotely from each other's houses. But I've never tried doing it in situ with anyone. Perhaps I ought to at some point. I think we're a couple of people who, you know, just click when we actually get together and enjoy a laugh, but also, you know, we can be serious when we have to be.
Yes, it's always very lighthearted and never too disruptive, I would hope.
No, quite. Well, we've not been asked to leave anything.
Yet.
Yes. I was about to add that as well. We'd make a great double act.
Yes.
Right, let's just be serious, or attempt to be. There'll probably be too much laughter in this for anybody's good. But first of all, just give us a bit of an oversight of how you've got to where you are today.
Oh, that's a question.
Take as long as you like.
Yeah. I mean, I was one of those that never knew what I wanted to do, really. Always kind of, I did some hospitality, bits and pieces from leaving school. I started a teaching degree, actually.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I started. That's where I started, kind of down this route, I suppose. Mm. I did 18 months of a primary school teaching degree, and actually ended up getting really kind of ill, getting coughed over by children, and kind of realised, you know, the whole in schools, primary school thing was just not for me.
Right.
It was just, the red tape, the everything you had to, yeah, exactly.
Don't get me started on that.
Yeah, and the syllabus kept changing and it was just, even in the time I was there, I mean, I enjoyed it. I just realised that, that was not for me. Came out of that, I thought about going into driving instructing then, but I was only like 21.
Right.
And I think I thought, actually, I'm probably a bit young to be a driving instructor. I mean, I was legally able to, because what's 4 years, isn't it? So, yeah. And I passed my test as soon as I was 17. Right. Back in the days when, you know, you could get a test.
Tests, yeah. What are they?
Exactly. So I put that to one side and just thought, I'd seen an advert, liked the idea, thought, no, I'm not going to. And then I went into running telesales rooms, actually. Yes, so started doing that. So again, just bits and pieces. Money was good, though. The money was really good. But then got bored of sitting in an office. Just couldn't. And yeah, went back to this idea. And I saw an advert again. And it was with peppers. Remember when peppers were around?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
I knew you'd been sort of from one franchise to another. Like, I thought it was peppers you started with, but I wasn't absolutely certain.
Yes, I was with them a long time, actually.
Yeah.
I started off, I did it, I was trained by Jenny Connor and Tim Eden.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Bless him, Tim Eden.
Yeah.
And Mark Pingera.
Right.
So, you know, they quite a few of them. Yeah. Stayed with them for a long time, actually. Learned an awful lot. Even back then, peppers were doing quite a lot of like the coaching stuff.
Yeah.
And actually how I qualified was a bit of a story.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes. So I did my part one, passed my theory, and then got pregnant.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Took my part two, 6 months pregnant. And then, yeah, I had the lovely Clive as well.
Oh, but dear Clive, yes.
Yes. So I was pregnant and his wife was pregnant.
Oh, right.
So he kept trying to talk to me about pregnancy things. And I remember thinking whilst I was driving, going, this is lovely, but I really want to concentrate on my part two. I mean, I passed it. I don't know whether I passed it because he felt sorry for me because I was so pregnant. And then I had to take some time off. Just because I had Ella, my eldest.
Yeah.
And then I had to come back to finish my training when she was about 7 months old. So it was before I wanted to, but if I hadn't, I would never have got through it because I only had until that October to do it. So I was on a pink license studying because you kind of had to then because of it was the PSTs. Test those
good old days.
Oh, God, they were awful, weren't they? With the whole role play thing. So I had a baby and I was on my pink license and I was studying. I passed my part three and then got pregnant with my son.
Oh dear.
Yeah. So I actually only ended up teaching for about 6 months before I went on maternity.
Gosh.
I know, it was all happening. And looking back now, I don't know how I managed. I really don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was doing the pink license with a young baby and hardly getting any sleep. And then when I went back to work after I'd passed and everything, and after having my son, I had a toddler and a baby. I know. But also with my standards checks as well, they all got thrown out of whack.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And this is one of the things like with the DVSA. I mean, so I phoned in to tell them I was going on maternity and said, if you're going to give me a standards check, you're going to need to give it to me before this date because I'm going on maternity then. They sent me one to take, I think, 2 weeks after my son was born.
Lovely.
Even though I told them I was finishing like in March, they didn't give it to me like till May. And I was like, no, I'm actually on maternity. I did phone and tell you. And they went, okay, that's fine. And then the following March, April time, when I was due to come back to work, they called me and said, we noticed you're not teaching because you're on maternity. You can suspend your badge if you'd like for a year. And I was like, well, I've just been on maternity. I'm coming back off. It took them a year to realise that I was on maternity, even though I'd spoken to them and sent like their letter back saying, I can't have a standards check, I'm on maternity. So then I went back on the list for my first standards check, which, you know, you're meant to have fairly soon. And it was another 18 months until I got one. And then I had to actually ask for it.
Gosh.
And that was because John O'Brien, that's only because John O'Brien was in Newton Abbott Test Centre at the time. And he came in and said, hi, everybody, how are we? And I went, can I have my standards check? And he went, well, you're asking. And I said, yeah, I just want to get it out of the way. It's my first one.
Yeah.
It was so stressful waiting for that thing to come through the door. You know what it's like, that first one, especially.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I actually asked for it, but I was also able to book it in, because also with two children, childcare, and having to get a pupil, I knew it was going to be a nightmare. Because I knew that it would drop through. Because in those days, you couldn't really move it round, could you?
No, they were a little bit less flexible on that sort of thing back then, weren't they?
Your leg literally had to drop off, I think, didn't it?
Yes.
For you to be able to, So I went into the office, sorted out a time and date, and did it.
Good.
So, yeah, got the first one out of the way.
So who was the examiner responsible for allowing you onto the register then with your part three?
Clive.
I'm ever so glad you said that, because at least there are now two of us who people can blame for letting us on the register, letting us loose with pupils.
I actually, because that was my second attempt. My first attempt was with Gabby, and she was great. She was absolutely amazing, actually. Oh. She just played a pupil that I hadn't been used to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She played quite an assertive pupil who kept going, and I had to keep dual controlling, and I'd never really had to do that. And it just, threw me completely. And I was just, but I remember the feedback she gave was amazing. And the support actually was so good.
Yeah.
It gave me so much confidence.
Right.
Because driving back, when they play the Stooge, don't they? She was driving back, and I was just like, oh God, I knew I'd messed it up.
Yeah.
Knew I'd messed it up. But like I said, the feedback she gave was so positive. It was really good, and it gave me the confidence. And then,
Yes, dear old Clive. Because I can remember I failed my first part two. That horrible slip road coming back from Kenford towards Exeter with the bend on it.
Yes.
And I went to go out and didn't spot something in the blind spot coming over into the same lane. And it was in the days when you could get a retest 3 days later.
Yep.
Which I did.
Wow.
Passed it. And Clive said to me, please don't come back in 3 days for your part three. And then I got the wonderful Laurie Dunkley for my first attempt at a part three. He played, suddenly he turned into Mr. Hyde or Dr. Jekyll, which I think Mr. Hyde's the sort of evil one, isn't he? And for 5 minutes, he became an absolute, questioning everything I was saying. Why do I have to do this? I don't want to do that. And then 5 minutes later, he changed back again. And he said, I just wanted to see if you'd bite, and well done that you didn't. But actually, on the first half of it, you'd failed anyway. So, great, thanks very much.
I know, they almost needed acting classes, didn't they, to do that thing? Because it was just, and I hated it. I hated that whole, it felt so contrived and so
unreal. Oh, yeah, it was.
They'd do something wrong, you'd fix it, and they wouldn't do it again.
Yes, yeah, that's right. The whole thing was, I can remember sitting at the traffic lights in Exeter where the Mini dealer is, the days when they had that Mini stuck on the side.
Yep.
And we're sitting at the traffic lights there. Now, this was a part three, one of my PDIs. And John's just sitting there and looking at it and said, I wonder how they got that on the wall. And I'm thinking, I don't think any learner of mine has even bloody well noticed the thing on the wall. And all he's trying to do is get the PDI to get him to concentrate on the road. But I'm thinking, oh, yeah, come on. Let's have something that's a bit more real than that.
I know, I just didn't like it. And the one thing that was quite good was the PST, so you could learn what mistakes.
Well, yes. But you say it was very contrived, wasn't it? This is what you got wrong. This is why. This is what could happen. Now go and do what I tell you now, and that'll be it. We fixed it. Forever.
I know, wouldn't that be lovely?
Oh gosh, yeah. Now I was going to try and work out when you were doing your teaching degree, but you've mentioned Ella, and I know how old Ella is now, so I won't go and get people to work out how old you are, because I now know roughly how.
I'd taken a couple of years out and gone back to uni as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Ella Ella is, she's now 18.
Yes, I know.
I know.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's scary, isn't it? Yeah. Well, I passed my part three in, I can't even, it's 2000 and Ella was born 2005. Yes. So I passed in 2006, my part three.
That's a year before me.
Yeah, so I've been doing it 17 years.
Yeah, scary as well, isn't it? And I take it you must have got taught Ella.
Yes, yes.
What was that like?
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was not a fun experience, teaching my own child.
For either of you?
No.
Or just you?
Both of us. She really didn't like me at all, the way I taught or anything. And I've taught most of her friends and they love me. And I've got them all through, most of her friends, yeah, I think all of her friends like first time. We've had some great fun in the car. So I actually had one of them pass today, first time this morning.
Oh, lovely.
So, yeah, but apparently my voice is grating. And she zoned me out a lot.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she did a mock test with Richard.
Yeah.
Richard Butterworth, who I was with at the time, and she failed her mock quite abysmally. She got like a serious and 26 minors. The 26 minors were for mirrors.
Right.
And then she gets back in the car with me, and every time she was like, I'm going to check my mirror there. She says, I'm going to check my mirror there. And I went, oh. And she went, yeah, Richard said. And I just went, oh, my God. I was like, I've only been telling you for the last 6 months, but because Richard said, and I was like, okay, and you know what? I just left it because I thought, yeah. But afterwards, when we were talking about things, she was like, I can't remember you telling me that. Cause she zoned me out. We had to have the radio on. Although it did make me think about my teaching, because a lot of the time she would actually turn around and go, Mum, I was just about to do it. So I realised I was sometimes stepping in maybe a bit early.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of just backing off. And so I did start to do that. And somebody said to me the other day, somebody gave me a little phrase, the wait, why am I talking?
Oh, yes.
And it really made me, and it's things that I've done in the past, and you know, I've done so many courses, so many things, read so many things, but sometimes you just forget.
Yeah.
And it took for my own daughter to basically go, Mum, shut up, for me to go, oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it reminds you, I have to swallow my pride at some time and go into IKEA, because I need to, because they've got some nice big square sort of wooden spoons, and I want to get one and put WAIT on it, and I would be able to hold it up to a PDI when they're giving verbal diarrhea to their learner. I know Penny and Ella have got them, but it's the place to go for them. So I have tried to get one of my learners and her friend who passed with me, because they both go to IKEA quite regularly, but one of them's at uni at the moment, so I've got to wait till, I'd have to wait till Christmas, because I'll see, well, can't you two go for me rather than me have to go in there?
It's what's a big wooden spoon?
Yeah, it's bigger than a normal one, but it's sort of, they're square.
I think the temptation to whack them with it might be a bit too much.
Well, there is that side as well. But it's nice just to have something to hold up rather than have to butt in.
You know, right, okay, say, yes, you know, they can see you from the back. Yes.
Why am I talking? Say basically to shut up, but without having to verbally interfere with the lesson. But,
yes. Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah. But they're wanting to slap that.
Oh, yeah, there is that.
Yeah.
So it took Ella 17 years to work out that your voice is grating, did it?
Apparently it's in the car.
Ah.
She's only driven me once. As well, since she's passed, she won't let me get in the car, because we were joining the dual carriageway, and I kind of had mentioned the your car does have mirrors either side, and she was joining the dual carriageway, and I looked over my shoulder, because I always do. I'm sat in that passenger seat, no matter who sat in that driver's seat, I'm looking over that shoulder. You know, it could be Mr. John O'Brien himself, and I would still be looking over that shoulder. And she was like, Mom. And I went, I always do it. And she came home and had a bit of a whinge to the boyfriend. And he went, she does it to all of us. Just deal with it. And I was like, oh, all right. And apparently it's very annoying from for both of them. And I just went, but I'm in the car. I'm not going to not do it.
Yeah. It's just a natural reaction, isn't it?
It's habit.
Yeah.
Yes. That's why sitting in the back on a test is so hard.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Because you cannot. You sit there going, oh, my God, I'm in the back seat. They're going to join the dual carriageway. I need to look over that shoulder bit. If I do, they're going to say something. It's a survival instinct,
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
Yeah, I just have to almost look down at the floor while I'm in the back. So don't look.
Yes.
And it's when somebody wants you in the back with multiple fails. I had one guy, a Chinese guy, about probably even longer ago than that, and he wanted me in the back every time. And I was getting to the point where I couldn't take it any longer. And I did say to him on about his fourth test, I think, what about trying something different? What about trying you going out without me there? He wouldn't have it. I had to sit in the back again.
Yeah, I had one like that, and she'd failed her third attempt with me in the back, and she hadn't overtaken a lorry on the dual carriageway that was going at 50, and it was clear as a bell. And I said, you know, why didn't you overtake on the way home? And she was like, well, because I didn't think you'd want me to. And I was like, oh. So I said, right, that's it. I'm not coming with you again. Because she was thinking about what I wanted her to do as well. She overthought the whole thing. Fourth attempt, out, passed, lovely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was just overthinking with me in the back. I've got one that wants me to sit in a couple of weeks. And she's adamant. So I will do it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not my favourite thing to do, but I will do it. I have some of them and they're like, I don't want you anywhere near the car.
I can remember one girl, we did it in her own car. And it was in the days of dear old Phil Ellis, the only examiner who could beat Usain Bolt out of the car back to the test centre after a test. And he took her on a route where it went, turned right from Devon Hotel towards Exminster. And she didn't signal at the roundabout, and I knew it was a fail. And we got back, obviously, and then 2 weeks later, yes, you can tell how long ago it was.
Yep.
She's back there again with Phil, who takes on exactly the same route. And I'm going down, and I'm in the back again, and we're going down there. So I thought, oh, come on, Lucy, put the signal on. Then she did, thought, yes, thank God for that.
It's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, and she thought, oh, when it came out, God, it's the same examiner. So what? And at the end of the test, I said to Phil, thank you for taking on the same route. And he had no idea. You know, they see so many people.
They don't realise, do they? Yeah. You're like, what if they recognise me? I'm like, they've seen so many. Unless you've tried to kill them, they probably will not remember you.
Yeah.
You know, unless you've done something drastic. And, you know, or, you know, you've made them walk back.
I wish you again.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. Then they're not going to remember you, seriously.
No, not at all.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember half my pupils.
No. So
I
get things come up on Facebook about pictures of past test successes. And I'm thinking, who the heck are you?
I've done that. I went through my camera. The photos in my camera, and I've got all these pictures of past passes, and I was like, who's that?
Yes, yeah.
Is that an age thing?
Now.
Or just because we've been doing it for so long?
Yeah, sure. So don't start on that, because I've got a few years on you on that one.
So you'd passed the year after me, so did you do any tests up at the Pine Hill?
Yes. Well, no, I did my first part three from Pines Hill. I must have done the part twos from there as well.
Yes. Because, you must have.
Because they moved to Marsh Barton.
2007.
Because my second go at part three was from the current test centre.
Yeah, because I actually went off maternity in the March and that moved whilst I was on maternity.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I finished at Pine Hill and then went, when I came back, it was at Marsh Barton.
And for God knows how many years, we had that sign outside saying new driving test centre. Like they have new road layout for years after and years.
I know.
After.
But then I still call the road from Pennin to Torquay the new road. And it's been there 8 years now.
Really? What, the overpass?
It was 2015.
Golly. Well, I've never come down. Well, I've very rarely come that way.
Yeah.
Gosh, didn't realise it was that long.
Yeah, but like Morrison's in Tynmouth as well. That's all what I call New Road, but it's not.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, I had the girl who passed with me on, what day this week? Yesterday. It's that long ago. We did a session months ago where I said to her, what sort of places are you going to drive to after you've passed? And she said, well, one of my best friends moved to King's Kurzweil a few years ago. So I said to her, why don't we go there? We're going to drive down there. Oh, my God. She lives, you go down there and you then, she's on some houses on the right-hand side where you turn off and then you turn immediately up this little road where there is absolutely nowhere to park. So yep. we drove round, found there's a little co-op round the back. We went to the car park by that. And I got Raven to phone her friend. And as we drove back, her friend's hanging out the bedroom window to wave to her. But it was quite good for her that we went somewhere that I'd never been. She obviously never been to drive there before and to realise, crikey, you know, you're going to have your wits about you, first of all, to get in there. And secondly, I said to her, good luck with ever finding a parking space there.
That's all test route.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's all test route around there. Yeah, they come, they go up there and down there. It's all around the back of King's Kurzweil.
Right. It's not anywhere I'm ever going to be going anyway. Thank goodness. Although we do get every now and then somebody who wants, oh, there's a test in Newton Abbot. Can we go there? And I said, no, bloody well can't, because I don't know where I'm going, let alone you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the trouble, isn't it? I only do a couple in Exeter these days.
Yeah.
I'd rather not do Exeter.
Yeah. So, in a way, it's a shame we don't see it. It's a bit like Adam Horrell as well. I never get to see him now because he's just down in Newton Abbot.
Yeah, it makes a difference, especially because, you know, when you've got children,
yes,
if you're having to go backwards and forwards and if you've got time in the middle of the day or you've got childcare to pick up from.
Yeah.
You know, if you can get, especially with the traffic in Exeter these days, you can get so stuck.
Oh, don't.
Yeah, let's not go down that one today.
No. There's all this new LTN controversy about some parts of Exeter, and there's people getting all sorts really het up about that. Anyway, yeah, let's move on from that. So you started with Peppers and then you went to
Williams.
So you had to, the uniform there is a sky blue shirt, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I used to wear a Did I wear? No, I don't think I did.
Well, Dave's a staunch Manchester City fan, isn't he?
Oh, right, yes. Oh, I get even your football that's what I'm reference. Getting. Oh, right, okay, yes. Yeah, no, he is. Yes, very much so. And, I mean, he worked with, him and Penny did a lot to start with. I mean, that's why I moved. Peppers were kind of, were winding down a little bit. It wasn't as, you know, it was getting smaller.
Yeah.
I wanted to move forward. Dave was doing a lot more, and him and Penny were doing those coaching classes and stuff. So that's kind of why I moved. I mean, whenever I move, it's always personal reasons. There's nothing, you know.
Yeah.
And then I moved from Williams as well recently. Have you seen all the different headboards I've had lately?
No, I haven't.
So I moved from Williams because, again, I think it just, for me, I needed more again.
Right.
And I joined Richard Butterworth.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I did know that.
Yes. It was, and he changed, he rebranded as Southwest ADT, so Southwest Advanced Driver Training. Yeah. And I mean, lovely little team, but again, not quite going in the direction that I wanted or quick enough.
Right.
So now I've joined Will and David at First Drive Southwest.
Oh, right.
Yes.
So I can't keep up with you.
Well, hopefully this will be the last one for a while.
Yeah.
Because I know Will and David from the Rosper group that I'm with.
Right. Yeah.
the good Rosper group.
We'll just end this podcast here.
Yeah, so the other, I'll just say the other.
Yes.
Yes.
Why there are two is beyond me, but hey ho.
I think at some point there was a bit of a splitting of ways.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I don't get into that. Yeah. Yes, so I know Will from that. I also know Will from my work with TTC. He put me onto them.
Right.
The speed awareness stuff, which I'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
Yes, so that's how I went with them. And Will and I mean, I haven't actually done my ROSPA test yet. I've trained for it.
Good.
I've been tutored for it.
Yeah.
I've just got to book it.
Yeah.
I know. I've got to have, Will's going to give me a mock. We're going to do a mock test. And then, I'm going to go for it because I've had some tutoring with, Chris from my ROSPA group. And he said that I'm ready to just to go and do it.
Yeah.
Go and have a mock with Will, go back to Chris, and then, you know, but it's booking test, isn't it? When you
I think with that one as well, you book the thing, they're even more easy to change than obviously the DVSA tests, because the examiner will just fit in with what you can do. The first one, I did one January, I've just done one January this year, so the first one must have been 2020, and because my 3 years came up while we were in Australia, and I didn't do the retest, I don't think, until April actually, because that was the first date that I could really do anything. But the guy was really, really very accommodating.
Is it Roger?
Yeah.
I think Roger does most of them these days.
Yeah, he's a lovely guy. Really is.
I've already done my IAM. I did that.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I've done some advanced driving before.
Yeah.
And then I was going to do my ROSPA. Yeah. But I think at the time it was the beginning of the end of my marriage, kind of. So there were lots going on at home and the kids were young. And it just, it just kind of didn't work really. But I've got back into it in quite a big way, actually. I've ended up being on the committee for this one. Yes. So
on committee.
Yes, I know. Yeah, I know. I find it hard to say no. And now my children are older.
Yes.
I like getting involved. I'm just one of those. I'm on my local parish council as well.
Oh, God.
I know.
What's that woman's name?
Jackie.
That's the one.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not one of her.
No. No, but yeah. Yeah, I've got to spend a lot of time with Ross. I'm doing quite a bit. We have drive outs and all sorts. So I have some real fun with them, actually.
Yeah.
The TTC stuff, that's been fun, actually. The speed awareness stuff.
Yeah.
So I do speed awareness courses, What's Driving Us, and the Safe and Considerate Drivers.
Mm.
There's a difference. So
just go, because not everyone will be aware of all three of those.
Yes. So speed awareness is you've been caught doing anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be speeding too much for that one, though.
Right.
Yeah. So if you're speeding a lot, then you don't get the chance of that one.
Yeah.
The What's Driving Us. So that's if you've done something like gone over a solid white line, run a red light, but there's been nothing happened, so there's been no collision or...
Right.
Yep. And that's just a theory.
I see.
Yeah. And then the Safe and Considerate Drivers is for people who've had a collision.
Right.
And there's a theory and a practical element to that as well.
Right.
So only driving instructors obviously can do the practical element.
Yeah.
So I've been doing quite a few. The Vision Zero and Devon and Cornwall Police have really been pushing this at the moment. So anybody who's even had like a minor collision, they usually just get referred. Well, they get a letter saying they can go to court or they can go on a course.
Right.
They've been really pushing it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if everybody knows about Vision Zero.
I need to get back to them because I spoke to somebody about, I think it was after that joint Rossburgh thing we had, the
yeah,
Ken, that I spoke to the guy who gave the
Gary Williamson.
He gave me the contact details for the sort of overall person in charge, who never actually got back to me. So I need to go back to him and say, can we do something? Because initially he was very keen, but he probably is got busy with other things.
Yeah, I think they're really busy at the moment.
Yeah,
I mean, I know that they're doing with the Rossburgh, they're doing the Raise Your Ride for bikers.
Right. Yeah.
So if you buy a new bike, you get a voucher for an hour. I think it's an hour. Excuse me, guys, if I'm wrong. to get free tuition.
Yeah.
To basically make bikers safer, because they are overrepresented in the KSI figures.
Yes.
For the amount of them that there are.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can. And we're hoping to entice more bikers, because we have, I don't know whether your group does, we have a really big biker element at the moment. It's growing compared, we've got quite a few, actually.
Yeah, the bikers in the Exeter East Devon one seems to be a separate group.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, no, ours are all together, because we get a lap over as well.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of them that do both.
Yeah.
We have Andy Phillips.
Yeah.
Yes, so that's clearly we're better, because we've got Andy Phillips.
You're not going to goad me into
Yeah, so Vision Zero are just really doing loads at the moment, and I think that it's the idea is good.
Yeah.
But it is getting us as driving instructors. That's the one thing that's frustrating me at the moment, and I don't know whether there's anything going on. Because I thought I'd joined a group, but I didn't get invited or something to do with getting driving instructors involved with Vision Zero, because it's just the statistics still for young drivers and the death rates, fatality rates on our roads is just huge. I'm actually hoping to go to a Learn to Live.
Yep.
I'm going to go and see one of those, because the format's changed apparently.
Oh, right. It's a long time since I've been to one of those.
And we used to get really involved.
Yes. Yeah.
They did a seminar for instructors, and I was kind of hoping that it would go that way again.
Yeah.
But I haven't really heard anything. So I was, again, it's getting hold of Gary Williamson and just kind of finding out what they're doing, or if there's anybody else doing it that I can get involved with, because I just think it's really important to involve us. They can go to the Learn to Live. But it's really important to get us then doing it in car, because there's the honest truth, but you've got to pay for that.
Yes, that's a great shame that it's gone that way, because I don't think it's the take up is nowhere near what it was when, because I know some parts of the country, if that was the local authorities offered a certain number of places for free, didn't they?
Years ago. Devon don't, but no. I think somebody was talking to, I think maybe Ollie, I'm not 100% sure, talking about getting funding from Vision Zero,
right?
Because for we get this a lot, the cash cow speeding, the speeding speed awareness. Right. So it's all cash cow.
Yeah,
it just drives me nuts. But it's all ring fenced, the money. So for those of, anybody out there who's listening, the money is ring fenced. Local authorities and local government, even nationally, the main government cannot touch any of the money.
Yeah.
It goes straight back into fund projects for road safety. They bought that drone recently, didn't they? That £25,000 drone.
Oh, yes.
Yes. To have a look, and then they can coordinate in the skies with down below, and they can do it kind of a bit stealthier.
Yeah. Like the cab they've got that goes up and down where they can look down on people.
Yes. And it's just funding things like that, because, the statistics, because now I'd work with the TTC and the speed awareness stuff, some of the statistics are still quite horrific.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, 5 people a day die on our roads every day.
Yeah.
And we're just trying to get that down. And you get people on the speed awareness courses going, oh, but, we've got more cars on the road. And I'm like, and? It's still 5 people a day. Don't go home. It's some of the attitudes. I mean, hopefully we're changing it one at a time. And that's why they do the speed awareness and the what's driving us and the safe and considerate drivers. It's just getting people to think and educate, because it's the only time when you get your license, you get it when you pass your test. You will never have to do another test unless you do something really wrong. Yeah. So you have to really, really mess it up. Yep. You know, you have to almost, it has to be dangerous driving for you to have to redo your test. No other industry is that, you know, even a forklift, you have to, you know, you're only driving around a thing. It's every 3 years, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So whenever you're dealing with heavy machinery, you have to retest or, you know, do something, recertify, apart from getting in a car, you know, 2 tons of metal that goes very fast is capable of killing lots of people.
Yeah.
It's, yes, it's ludicrous. So, it's just one of those, it's one of the areas that, that I feel really passionate about. And that's, and good. I think it's even more so now. I do the speed awareness courses.
Yeah.
And I do all of that. And with the ROSPA as well.
Yeah.
So actually, I'm a bit of a sad bunny, really, because my job is driving and my hobby is, driving.
Can't see much wrong with that personally, but hey ho.
And I've actually even started to be able to quote bits of the highway code now with certain, which is.
Right.
But it's good to have in your arsenal when you've got people on the speed awareness courses who start going, but this and that. And does it really matter? And it's just like, are you really arguing with people's lives? It's like the whole 20 miles an hour in Wales thing.
Yeah.
You know, people are going, it's going to cost me thousands extra. And you're like, really?
Yeah. And what's it going to cost the people that if you've driven at 30 or 40 mile an hour and you'd hit? How much is it going to cost them and the authorities and everything else surrounding the deaths and the...
36 billion a year is what it costs our economy. Yeah. 36 billion a year. And actually that's gone up to 43. I read the other day, but so it's billions.
Yeah.
And just, you know, so what is a person's life worth?
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it's a no brainer. Yeah. And people go, but you know, you still speed. And I'm like that. No. Okay. It's one of the thing is, I've always been quite a careful driver. And so I've never really, I mean, yes, you get the moment where you're like, I'm a bit over and slow down because you've, but I don't go in speed because, for a start, I mean, driving instructor speeding, that, you know, that's, it's not particularly.
Especially if in a branded car as well.
Yes. And, you know, 6 points and that's it, we're done.
Yes. Yeah.
I can't afford that.
No.
I mean, and people are like, back before you were driving instructor? And I was like, that was a very long time ago. And I, I just didn't. And they're like, there probably weren't as many speed cameras. And I was like, no, there probably aren't weren't actually, but I still didn't really do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't be bothered.
No. Quite. And I say to all the PDIs we get, this has got to be the way you drive all the time now. Regardless of what your partner or friends might say and start moaning, have we got to go at this speed? Yeah, you bloody well have got to go at this speed because it's the speed limit.
And actually, it hardly gets you anywhere quicker.
No.
I mean,
I absolutely love it when I get to the end of the A30 from here going to Exeter and somebody's shot past me and I'm thinking 9 times out of 10, I catch up with you at one of those sets of 3 traffic lights before we get any further. I had one yesterday, I think. Yeah, with a lad yesterday afternoon, something shot past us and we catch it up at the traffic lights. And I said, what I do here is I just look at their rear view mirror with a silly grin on my face.
Yeah.
And so as if, great, you got that far ahead, haven't you?
With learners, we'll quite often wave. Smile and wave.
Oh, yeah. I've had the nerve to do that one. Yeah.
Oh, I do. I love it. Because the learners are like that.
Yeah, I can't see your camera, Claire. How could you do it?
Probably a good idea. But you can't. But yeah, I mean, we break it all down for people, and it's things like if you're going at 80 instead of 70, you save 6 seconds a mile. You know, if you're going at 35 instead of 30, you save 17 seconds if you can sustain that over a mile. You know, it's, and people go, but it's like, no, it doesn't make any difference. And the amount of extra fuel you use and stress.
Yes, yeah.
And even with ROSPA, you know, with the ROSPA stuff, you know, it's about making some really good progress, but never above the speed limit, never anywhere dangerous, you know.
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain this to a lad the other day when I was talking about it, and he was like, but you've got a really pants car. And I was like, I know, but ROSPA's not always about just going fast. ROSPA is about being safe. I said, it's, you know, the Royal Society of Prevention of Accidents.
Yes.
So, you know, it's we have days to do it. We go up to Smeethorpe.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, we go up to Smeethorpe and we, you know, on the old abandoned airfield.
Yeah, yeah.
And we go and we test our cars out there.
All right.
I mean, mine can only get to 91. you know, and then I run out of runway. We do, yeah, we kind of, we do lots of, we have cones out and we test ABS out, you know, steering at 50 miles an hour, whilst braking and stopping distances and stuff.
All right.
We've also got a day at Thruxton.
Right.
I think I'm not going on that one. I don't think, I can't remember. And that's the actual proper off-road track.
Yeah.
And they're hiring cars and, you know, going and doing the proper. So, you know, they go and do the fast stuff, but somewhere safe in controlled conditions.
Yeah.
And we don't, you know, because on the road, you just never know.
Oh, yeah. And it's these people who drive fast and will tell you, well, I'm a good driver. So you can stop in a shorter distance than anybody else, can you?
You can deny physics.
Yes.
All right, that's the thing. It's the physics, isn't it? And you just kind of go, oh. And they go, I've got good brakes. Yeah, but if you're going faster, you're still going to take longer to stop.
Yes, and can your brain act quicker than anybody else's? No.
Yeah, yeah. We've got a couple of really good videos, one in the speed awareness and one in the what's driving us, about how it works, about the physics. There's one about the biases as well and how we all think we're a good driver and actually we're probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Let's move on a little bit.
Yes.
Because that's really interesting. And I'm glad we've put all of that in. Just I want to go back for a minute about the fact that you've been with Peppers and Williams and now with you've moved on twice since. So you like obviously being part of a team.
I love being part of a team. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've never really thought about going independent.
No, never. It's never been a consideration for me because I like being part of a team.
Yeah.
I also, I couldn't answer the phone and deal with all of that.
Oh, tell me about it.
Yeah. So, no, for me, it's never been an option.
Yeah, it's good.
I've never even thought about it because, and I like having that backup, you know.
Yeah.
If somebody gets funny, I'm like, well, you know, my school says, you know, now I can just say,
yes.
Well, Will and David say, that's the rules. Yeah.
Yes. If you want to argue, go and talk to them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You've got backup, you've got support.
Yes. Yeah.
You've got somebody you can go in either rant to or ask advice. And you've got a WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can say, I've got this happening. Has anybody had this before? Can I have help? Mock tests, those kinds of things. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We've got the same thing here. We've got a WhatsApp group.
Yeah. It is. I think that's important. I think it's important.
Yeah.
And I like working on my own, but I also like having that team as well. Yeah. It's a bit of both. You know, I don't think I could actually go back into a workplace and properly work for anybody again.
Yeah. Yes.
Because I can, even though I do a lot of the TT work for TTC, I do at least one day a week, sometimes two. I choose when I work.
Yeah.
So I choose when I learn. I have my learners. I choose when I do the TTC. Yeah. It's, you know, on my time frame.
Yes, it's great having that. PDI I observed this morning at the end of it, she said, is it all right if I do hour and a half lessons? And I said, oh, sure. Yeah, of course it is. It's up to you. It's your diary. I just said to her, probably not a good idea to do too many single hour lessons because once you get a full diary, you'll be here, there and everywhere and using up so much fuel. And she said, oh, well, when, because she did it before, 20 years ago. And she said, well, I did it before. The AA, they wouldn't let me do anything other than 2 hours. And I said, well, it's nothing to do with me. You run your own diary. You do lessons what day you want, how long you want for.
Yeah, so, I know. It's individual. I don't do many 1 hours because I don't think you can get much learning done.
Oh, God, no.
But I've recently had a girl and she needed the hour to start with because she's autistic and she couldn't cope with any more than an hour.
Yes.
I know her mum. I've known her for a while. Yeah. We've talked about it and she's now up to an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But to start with, there's no way she could have done any more than an hour.
We've had one of our PDIs has had the same that I said to her, go down to an hour at a time because he obviously what you're saying, you can't cope. So exactly the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's very individual. You know, as long as you haven't got 1 hour all over the place.
Yes.
But also some people can't always afford. And that's the thing. A lot of it's affordability, especially these days. You know, so I can be fairly flexible. It depends where they are as well and how far I've got to travel and what days they can do. But doing your own diary is wonderful. Although it's sometimes stressful at the same time.
Oh, yeah. When you forget, oh, God, I forgot about that one.
Yes.
I turned up yesterday afternoon, 2:30, and I realised I'd put him back for whatever reason to 3:00. He came out about 10. Well, I went and knocked on the door. So I thought it was 3:00. Oh, God, yeah, it was, wasn't it? Oh, sorry. Take your time. There's no rush.
Yeah, no, I've done that. I've ended up at the wrong person's house.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah, especially when it's two learners with the same name.
Or they've switched time that week and they usually have the same time and you just go on autopilot. Don't check your diary on autopilot. And then you're like, oh, I shouldn't be here. Like, where's this pupil? Oh, yeah. Whoops. The other one's texting you going, where are you? I'm like, I'll be there in a minute.
There's a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I want to move on to an area where I'm going to tread very carefully here, because fortunately, I know you well enough that you'll call me out if I'm saying the wrong thing. But you have a particular, I can't say this the right way. You are very much from the have a feminist point of view, don't you? And approach.
Yes.
Of course you are. You're female, but you have, I wouldn't say bee in your bonnet, but whatever it is, I think it's quite right what the sort of approach that you have to a number of things, including probably the DVSA.
Yes.
Now, I don't want to dig myself into a pit, but I'll let you carry on now and just explain things from your perspective.
I know, yeah. I'm just trying to think kind of what, so the sexism within the DVSA generally
as well?
I mean, it's getting a lot better. I will say that it's getting a lot better. And, you know, the days of me, every time I go to the test centre, just me and a load of blokes is you know, pretty much gone. It's very rare these days. And I think a few times recently, it's been me and other women, which has been lovely. I mean, the only time I've ever within the DVSA was the maternity thing and letting me know about maternity properly or helping me through that process. And I'm hoping that it is better these days. You know, I'm well past dealing with that these days.
Yeah.
But out on the roads, I used to get an awful lot of aggression from other male drivers. I've been told how to do my job numerous times by just men.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you know that they're doing that wrong? And I'd be like, we're just talking about that. So generally, it's not. Yeah. I haven't had anything horrendous for a while, actually.
I tend to find, very often I'll say, when something's not quite gone right, and there's a driver the other way that maybe we've slightly inconvenienced, or that other driver has been helpful to us, I'll very often say to the learner, who's driving that car, a man or a woman? And nine times, well, I can't quantify it. That's a wrong thing to do, to put a number on it. But so often when there's an act of kindness from the other driver, it's a woman.
Yeah, well, statistically, actually, women are safer drivers.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, you're more likely to get killed by a bloke than you are a woman.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Yeah, the statistics actually are quite, especially certain age groups.
Yeah.
The young males especially. But generally it's getting a lot better. I mean, I would speak to male colleagues not long after I started and they would never get anywhere near the amount of aggression from other drivers that I would being female. I mean, I've been followed with a female pupil. Yeah. I've been followed and then we've pulled in and they've crawled past and glared. And I just burst out laughing. I literally laugh in their face and they're shocked and my pupil's like, what? And it's like, well, clearly they have an issue.
Yes.
It's nothing to do with us. They're funny. I laugh at them because that, you know. But yeah, generally, I think it has got a lot better. But there's a lot more of us out there. I mean, I still get still a lot of requests from people about, you know, they want a female instructor.
Yes, yeah.
Still get a lot of that.
Yeah, we do as well. I think we're quite lucky that obviously Christine, my business partner, we've got her mum up in Bridgewater. We've got, I've got three PDIs, four. The four I'm training at the moment are all female. So as you say, there's a lot more representation. And I think in our area, we probably have a larger percentage of women instructors than a lot of areas of the country.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we do. It's very, you know, there's lots of us out there these days. And it's getting easier.
Yep.
It really is. And I think there's less of the, you know, sexist banter within the test centre as well. And we've got more female examiners. So it's definitely moving in the right direction. Thing is, it's going to take time. It always will. And I think, you know, calling it out and being able to and have that representation. I mean, like in our Rossborough group, we've got a lot more women now. I've really kind of been doing a bit of hard recruiting. Because I think it has been a very dominant, male-dominated industry. Yeah. And unfortunately, we've lost, we've lost one of the great females or women in our industry. You know, losing Lou was a big blow. Yeah. And now with and Susan McCormack not being around anymore either, because she's kind of gone off the what with Try Coaching. And same with like Jed and Claire Wilmot. The Claire's just, they've just disappeared. So there's quite a few women who have just not there anymore. Oh, me neither. I think it's going to take a while. And I don't know how she fit it all in. You know what? The amount of messages, I mean, you could message her and she'd get back to you. And I used to think, how many instructors are doing that? Yes. And you'd be like, oh my goodness. I just do not. And she always, I mean, a couple of times actually, she had, we had a couple of little sessions, chats about actually a bit of, it was about children in the back of lessons. We'd both got a bit into this. There was a thread on one of the pages and there were some instructors going, oh, that's, you know, it's disgusting. You shouldn't have them in the back. And, you know, really kind of going, and Lou was trying to defend the point. And I actually jumped in because I've, my best friend, I taught her to drive. That's how I met her. I mean, I don't usually make friends with her, but she's older. She's only 6 years younger than me. And she had a little one at the time and she was in an abusive relationship. She won't mind me sharing this because she thinks it's great that I do. And if her little one hadn't been able to go in the back, she wouldn't have been able to drive and would not have got her independence. And that's the point. It's so client-centered. And I have a great relationship with her daughter as well, because she was only like, 10 or 11 months old. I taught her how to high-five from the back. And she just, yeah, I think we only had one instance where she had a terrible, terrible diarrhea. And it obviously was upsetting her and she screamed the whole time. But again, it was that she was learning how to deal with it. We talked through it. Yeah, and it was just, you know, I've had a couple of women whose partners would not look after the children. And if they hadn't have looked after them, they wouldn't have been able to learn to drive. And so Lou messaged me after this going, thanks for stepping in. And I said, no, I'm happy to anytime, because for this is a big, big thing for me, you know, empowering women. And why shouldn't we have babies? If you don't want them in the back, that's fine. But don't say that it shouldn't happen. You know, I even looked after her daughter while she was on test because there was no way she was going to be able to do it, because her, you know, her ex wouldn't, he didn't do childcare, you know, that was her job and she had no family here to support her. So, yeah, I am very happy to do any of that. I haven't had any babies in the back for a while, actually. I quite miss it. Yeah, but you're a it, yeah. Yeah, it could be. I've had quite a few. And I've had them before where I've turned up and they've gone, oh, my other half is late, got stuck in traffic, late home from work. I'm like, right, let's get the car seat in. Let's sort it. And they're like, are you sure? And it's like, yeah, they'll be asleep in 5 minutes. And they are. They always are, asleep in 5 minutes. I'm like, well, you're going to have to pay for the lesson anyway, so why not stick them in the back, learn to, think. It's a great educator as well for them to see what happens, and to have that, even if they're asleep, to have them on your half on your mind that they're in the car. Yeah, makes a huge difference. Yeah, they've all said afterwards, thank you for letting me do that, because it means now that I know how I feel about driving with the children in the car. Yeah. Yep. Yes, definitely will. Yes. Yes, yeah, well, Jackie and I do that every, we try and do once every half term if we can, sometimes once a term, and we always meet at Forest Fungi, always. Ella's joined us a couple of times as well, which is nice, because we always meet in the same place about the same time, Friday afternoons, because nobody else ever does anything else on a Friday. Yes. Definitely. We're lovely to see you, because like I said, it's the face to face is always nice. That's why I was a bit disappointed about today, because I was like, it would be nice, meet up and have coffee and cake. Yes. It was my pleasure. It's my one of my favorite subjects to talk about is driving. Well, this somebody said this the other week. They were like, with my speed awareness, they were like, it's one of your great pleasures. You love all the driving and all the statistics, and you get to stand up in front of people and tell them all this and get paid for it. And I'm like, I know. Yes, quite often. There's usually somebody who's, yeah. Being a bit naughty. Well, lovely to speak to you, Kevin.